I kind of like that idea of standing while I preach too. Some of you won't be able to go to sleep then, so that'd be good. Although I have gone to sleep standing, but and I'm sure that would not be good. Good to see everybody here today. It is a great day. It is good for us to be able to be here and to worship God and participate in remembering our Lord, to eat of the Lord's Supper, bread, fruit of the vine, give, sing, be able to pray and study His Word. Indeed, it is good for us to be here today. If you're visiting, thank you for coming today. We appreciate so very, very much your being with us. And we hope that the time we spend together will be beneficial. And as we study the Word of God, if there's anything that you might have a question a bit about or a concern about, I'd be happy to talk to you about those things. But we ask you just to go ahead and participate and join in with us in the study and the rest of worship. And we're so glad you're here. It's good to see the members that are here, and I appreciate your all's presence as well today. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. We'll begin our study from this passage this morning. James, chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If one does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. This passage is, I think, to most of us, quite familiar. We've looked at this passage from time to time. And because it is such a powerful passage, it's important that we discuss it pretty regularly. If you'll notice in the reading, we looked at verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways." More than likely, when we get in trouble, many times it's because of what we said or what we didn't say. And if you notice in the text, if we don't stumble in what we say, then we are perfect men. But with an emphasis on able to bridle the whole body as well. So one of the principles we learn in this great passage, if you can learn to control your mouth, you can control your whole body. If you can't control your mouth, you can't control the rest of you. If you also notice in the text, he mentions that there's all sorts of animals that have been tamed, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And from that, I would suggest that what he's talking about is simply the fact that none of us will ever be able to finally say, I will never, ever, ever say anything wrong again. We're just not going to be able to do that. We're always going to have to be mindful of our mouth. We're always going to have to be very cautious about our tongue. No one is going to reach perfection in that regard. Then he mentions the idea from the same mouth there are blessings, and from the same mouth there is cursing. And he simply says, brethren, this ought not to be. So let's take a little bit closer look at this idea of the tongue. And we'll look at it from a positive, a negative, and a positive side. Well, first of all, when we think about the tongue, the Bible here mentions the fact that it is this fire. Now, I don't really think anyone looks like that. No one is really capable of that. Literally. But when we speak, our words are very powerful. And we can just scorch people with what we say. If you can imagine a dragon, a fire-breathing dragon. And when we see that in some kind of mythical movie, science fiction movie sort of thing, this dragon has this great power just to spew out this fire and destroy everything that it reaches. And I think that's the image that James has given us about our language. In the book of Proverbs, there's some interesting things that are stated here that probably most of us are quite familiar with. And it's about these seven sins or abominations before God. And the wise men said there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to Him. And in these seven things that are listed here, three of them pertain to the tongue. And you'll notice he talks about verse 17, haughty eyes. And then he talks about a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among his brethren. Now, when you look at those three of the seven things, these are things that God hates. And they are things probably that we have, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, that we have committed. The idea of lying, we're reminded in Revelation 21 that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. God hates lying. And there's all forms of lying, as far as man is concerned. Little lies and big lies. But to God, it's all lying. We lie rather than tell the truth. We lie to protect someone's feelings. Lying is lying. God hates it. You can understand how that can create a fire. false witness. Saying somebody did something or is guilty of something or didn't do something and we know different. This morning Rocky talked a little bit about that in regards to if we had been one of the Romans and what they were asked to do and what they did do as false witness. Spreading discord is the idea of being able to whisper or to backbite or to slander. And it spreads evil. You can talk bad about someone. You can put someone down. You can spread disunity. Well, God hates all of that. But we also understand that God hates it when we complain. Complaining is something that probably most of us have done. And sometimes we justify it by saying, well, it was just corrective criticism. And I think our own hearts are able to discern the difference. Are we trying to help or are we just criticizing? In James chapter 5 and verse 9, he says, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." I think I've told this illustration before, but it's on me, so I can tell it again. When I was in school, grade school, whenever the teacher would leave the room, you know, that was the time, you know, you could act up and do bad things and so forth. And I was usually amongst those that did. And we'd have someone stand at the door, you know, and wait for the teacher and look for the teacher. And they'd holler, "Teacher's coming." We'd all rustle back to, you know, our seats, you know, not get caught. This imagery is, you need to behave yourself. You don't need to complain because the text says the judge is standing right out the door. The imagery is that we think God is not hearing or seeing or knowing what we're doing, but He's just outside the door. He knows exactly what's going on. So if we're complaining, He hears that. Cursing, cussing, using foul language is referenced, I think, in the text in verses 9 and 10. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be that way or this way. Well, I think all of us probably have been angry. We've probably all said things we regret, we wish we hadn't have said. But cursing and cussing is using the kind of verbiage that is filthy or is dirty or is unbecoming of a Christian. We can also include the idea of God's name in vain. God's name is to be held as holy before us. You remember we talked about some time ago from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Hallowed be thy name. It's the concept of God's name is holy. So for us to use God or Jesus or any euphemistic form of that, we're using it in a non-holy way. When we as Christians take God's name in vain, we're using the tongue in a way that God hates. We should be careful what we say. The tongue can also be used for good. And as New Testament Christians, we need to do all that we can to use it for that. In James 3 and verse 9, again, with it we bless our Lord and Father. That is a positive and good thing. That is thanking God. There's not anything more uplifting and encouraging than when someone thanks you for something that you've done. The fact that we've got some beautiful flowers up here. Who put those up there? Regularly, those flowers are switched out. We take that for granted. Bulletin boards that are put up around the building. Clean floors. Air conditioning set. Lights are on. Somebody does something. And rather than gripe and complain constantly about something, we could thank God or thank others for what they do. We can bless. Praising God is just a wonderful thing that we can do. When we sing together, you know, we don't have to always be in tune. We don't always have to be on key. We don't always have to have the perfect timing. But, you know, just joining our voices together and singing and praising God is a wonderful thing. We're going to have a get together today at 4 o'clock here at the building and do some song practice. And that's good. We need practice, and that's good to practice. Encourage everybody to be here for that. But singing praises unto God is a beautiful way to use our tongue. And I wonder how much we really do praise God. Do you sing during the day? When it's just you? When you're out riding the lawnmower? When you're driving down the road? Do you praise God? Do you thank God? That would be a beautiful thing to do. When it comes to others, just encouraging others to lift them up. Just talking to Kevin a while ago, the last several weeks they've had some sickness, had his mom and dad's illnesses, Lori's folks, their own sickness, traveling, difficulties, working 16-hour days. He liked to wore me out telling everything was wrong with him. But you know what? We need to encourage folks like that. Lift people up. The Kents have gone through lots of difficulties. Plus Sanda. Sanda's going through lots of difficulties. Could we just go around and start naming all the people that have difficulties and problems and issues? Maybe we should do more of that. But maybe we should be more encouraging to those that do have those difficulties and just lift others up. Lifting them up in prayer to God. Telling them you're praying for them. You know, whether it's a tweet, whether it's Facebook, whether it's an email, whether it's a text, or just in person, you're doing something. And please, I've tried to encourage everyone to understand this. We have work groups, you know, for us to get together and just to be concentrating on who can we call, who can we talk to, who can we visit, who can we help. And that's so very important. But if, after all of this time, we've been doing all of these work groups, and you find yourself only doing that kind of thing when your group is meeting, you miss the whole point. You just completely miss the boat. We need to do that all the time. And work groups are just to encourage you to do that. And what you're going to find when you are giving comfort and lifting others up and encouraging others, you're not griping and complaining. When you use your tongue for good things, from praising God and thanking God to encouraging others, it gets you out of that negative, pessimistic mode into that positive mode of trying to use your language in a good way. And that's a choice we make. But one of the best things that you can do, short of praising God, is confessing Christ. And I want to use that in two basic ways. One, if you're not a Christian, you've not expressed a commitment that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to obey His Word, to be baptized into Christ, and have your sins washed away. You've not done that. That's a good thing for you to do. Confessing Christ also has to do with, as a disciple, that you are confessing Christ by your life. It is true that one of the most powerful things we say, we haven't said a word. It's what we do. It's our actions. So if you're confessing Christ, you're teaching Christ, you're helping your friends, you're helping your neighbors, you're helping your loved ones, you're helping folks at work to know about Christ. You don't have to preach a sermon. It can be something simple. I've tried to incorporate, at least for a time, on the sign out there. How can I best use that sign? You know, people are flying by. Each segment is 5 seconds. A 5-second statement. So I've tried to quote Christ on a number of things, so that when people come in by, they at least get something. And maybe if we all started thinking in that kind of regard, I think people freak out when they think, well, I've got to sit down with somebody for 45 minutes or an hour and talk to them. Well, I don't know that much. I'm afraid I'll make a mistake. But, you know, what about 5 seconds worth? Can you say anything? 5 seconds. You know, the Word of God is powerful. When the seed of God, compared even to a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds, planted, can germinate. So these are great things that you can do. Well, the tongue and how we use it is best described by our Lord in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, you'll notice verse 35, the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Powerful words of our Lord to illustrate that really what we speak, what we say, is the indicator of what kind of hearts we have. People that never have anything good to say, people that are always negative, people that are always putting down, people who don't speak well of God or Christians, etc., we know what kind of hearts they have. Equally, we know how good a hearts people have by the good things that they say. So Jesus says you'll either be justified or you'll be condemned by what you say. So for the lesson today, I really just wanted us to concentrate on something we're very familiar with. This is not a new revelation. This is not a topic or discussion of things that you just like, wow, I never heard that before in my life. No, you've heard it. But here's the deal. Your language is extremely important to your eternal destiny. So if you're not talking the way you ought, you can change that. If you're not talking good, you can talk good. You just got to want to do that. And today, you need to make the good confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're not a Christian, to become one. If you are a Christian, then to really demonstrate to the world who you are. So, Jesus talks too. And His words are gracious. His words are merciful. And He's tenderly calling. He speaks to us. He speaks to all of us. What will your answer be today? Why don't you come as we stand and sing?
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Come on into the